And welcome back to Pints and Pairings. We are broadcasting live from Barrel House 101 tonight in Ventura, California. Who are you to the left of me, sir?
Hi there, I'm Curtis Taylor, also known as Hoppet Zed, and I'm going to go turn the speaker down.
Dude, for a second, I thought you were Barry White. I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry. Tonight, we've been working through a great lineup from the Dudes Brewing Company in Torrance, California. And this right now is going to be kind of a pinnacle of the evening in relation to beer and food, largely because the beer is in the food.
It's my favorite favorite kind of way to eat my beer, I suppose. A phrase coined by Anastasia herself, who is sitting to your right.
She is.
The very talented pastry chef here at Barrel House 101.
I cannot refer to her any longer by her given name. It's only Stash. I was told that the staff shortened her name here at Barrel House 101 for brevity, efficiency, and strictly for fun. So now she is Stash.
Pull your microphone up just a tiny bit there.
Put it up closer to your stash.
Come on.
Closer to my stash.
No, see, I'm married to somebody who has a four-syllable name.
Yeah, count it on your fingers, Curtis.
Three-syllable. So I have no problem going with the long one, and I will not do that. So just so you know. Anyway, the desserts that she has laid before us, as usual, are just fantastic. I mean, they're beautiful looking. I have tasted the coconut little top on one of them. I have tasted the truffle. I have not tasted the pecan topped, whatever it is over there.
It's kind of like an upside down cake.
Oh, so I'm looking forward to her descriptions of them, tasting them, and then just working through the flight too, and kind of what she had in mind. So one of the things I think our listeners really should know is that Barrel House 101, I'm going to gush on Anastasia here just
do
a
it.
Bit.
Do it,
is,
man.
Is, they have just a fantastic pastry chef, and I would not even stop at saying just world class. She takes, it's a genetic kind of coding for her. She knows what's going on. She knows how to put things together.
And can we disclose the fact that there's some of the beer tonight she was not even able to taste, but yet it's in the dessert, and from what I'm told, works well.
Because she knows her flavors. That's
yeah,
what it is.
And because if you actually tasted them, you'd have to whip out an EpiPen and potentially go into anaphylactic shock, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait. Are you you're allergic to something?
The pecans.
Yeah, the pecans.
Oh, really?
So yeah. That Dude's Brewing Company pecan brown that we tried earlier,
right?
That did not cross her lips.
I'm not going
to
taste that one.
I'm also allergic to coconut.
Ugh.
So you haven't had any of
these. I'm downhearted right now.
That's a bummer, because we just got done kind of talking about how coconut was a really great ingredient.
And two of the beers we tried tonight had both of those ingredients, and they both tasted amazing, which means you're missing out on some really delicious beer.
Yeah. Well, I can eat a little bit of coconut, but...
But the pecans will set you reeling,
pecans,
huh?
The pecans I'll beat. Yeah, it's bad.
All right, so tell us, should we just walk through
Yeah, let's walk through it, because okay. We got three items on the plate, and we want to understand them a little better. Some of the people at home are listening and not necessarily watching, especially if this is a podcast and you're tuning in post-production. So, Anastasia, give us a little rundown of what's on the plate and try to describe visually too, because I'm eating them all with my eyes right now.
Well, this first one is with the blood orange juice box.
So we're talking about a truffle here.
Yes, it's a truffle. I infused the truffle with the juice box orange beer, and then I made a cream mousse on the bottom for it. Just to offset flavors.
You see how nonchalant she is with that?
Or maybe not really offset
flavors.
Just
to do
flavors,
something with flavor.
Different texture. Because the truffle's very dense, and I wanted something lighter to complement it.
It is very dense. It's this wonderfully heavy... is decadent the right word? Where it just sits and it just... Your body tries to absorb everything that's happening, and I don't know if decadent is necessarily the best word, but that's kind of what happens when you bite into this. It's
rich, and
it has this explosion of this orange. What's the filling?
I made a ganache, And I infuse it with the orange, and I use some orange zest and a little bit of vanilla bean, just because for this flight, I just looked at the flavors of the beer because I couldn't really taste some of the beers. And what I saw from each beer, I wanted to put them in the desserts this time.
Well, I think that makes sense, Curtis. We talked how many times about, you know, either you're contrasting, you're trying to resonate. So right here is a beautiful example of resonating all the flavor components and the ingredients within the beer through the dessert, purely out of necessity. You don't have the opportunity to confirm the flavors in the beer beforehand, so you just have to go off of what the brewer and the brewery are really trying to convey.
Yeah.
There it is. And so let's go to the second item, which is?
It's a coconut porter cheesecake tart with a coconut porter macaroon on the top. I made a coconut shortbread crust.
Coconut shortbread crust, okay.
Yes, and then I did a filling of a cheesecake with coconut porter in it, and then I made a coconut macaroon with the coconut porter on top.
Interesting, all right. Yeah. And, you know, one of the things, too, for the people who are listening at home, as I mentioned earlier, I'm gobbling these up visually. What's cool about the breakdown of these desserts so far, just with the first two you've described, is on one hand, there's a tartlet shell with this kind of cool-looking mousse aspect, and the truffle is glazed in a beautifully smooth shell. Then you move to the next one, and it's a typical kind of almost tart or cheesecake visually, but it's got this macaroon shoved on the top of it, so you're getting these great kind of textures and different surface areas that are going to be working in the tasting. And I think that, as we were mentioning previously with the coconut porter, Curtis, getting nuances is key in the beer. Getting different textures is often key with food on the plate. You want to be able to, the mouth, kind of explore smooth and crunchy and creamy, what have you.
Right, and I think people maybe take that for granted until you get something like... and I'm drawing a blank on the specific, but you get something that everything, an entree where everything around it is light and crispy, and then you get this big chewy chunk of something in the middle, and it's hard to chew through it. And sure. So then you understand the negative side of the texture component.
And growing up, a dessert for me that really personifies that was my grandmother's pudding in a cloud. She always did homemade whipped cream and pudding in different layers, right? Parfait style. The flavors were great, but looking back on it, there was nothing to offset that. It was a smooth, very rich and sugary, consistent feel from bite to bite to bite. It would have been a lot better with like some graham cracker crumbles, or nowadays for a salty component, maybe some potato chip crumbles in between to give you a crunch or a different shift in texture so your mouth wasn't getting bored or getting tired.
Right.
And I think we're going to see that as we move through these desserts.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely went texture this time. I was definitely really thinking about texture and when I...
So what's the last one then? Wow us.
The last one is a maple pecan upside down cake with bacon in it. And it is cooked...
She's playing to my heartstrings right there with the bacon.
It is infused with the pecan brown. The bottom is the cake. It's a maple cake. It has the pecan brown in it. A little bit of espresso, just to, because the beer. I know the beer. It's brown, and I couldn't taste the beer, but I just felt like that espresso would kind of.
Well, based on our tasting descriptions previously, the beer. I think you're hitting on something that's probably going to be quite the success, and we are really getting a lot of those flavor components and the aromas of everything you've described so far.
Well, if anything else, we've mentioned it how many times? Innumerable times about, you know, if a pairing doesn't work specifically, you're still eating and you're still just drinking beer.
There you go.
However, we've got a dessert here that includes bacon and espresso, two of the most important things in my life.
As I mean, my friend told me yesterday,
the only thing that's missing is beer. Oh, wait, no, there's beer in this too. So
it's funny you say that because I literally just had lunch with a friend yesterday, and she was talking to a guy trying to pitch her on like one of these juice programs, right, or a cleanse program.
Sure,
I want to cleanse. For the first 30 days, you have to cut out a whole list of things, and three of them being bacon, beer, and coffee or espresso. And she's like, wait a minute, those are three of my five major food groups. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that wouldn't happen for me. So I think no matter what, the dessert's going to be delicious.
I'm ready.
But
forks up.
Go ahead. You go ahead and take a taste. I'm going to talk over the top of you while
Let's do it.
And the fact that the pecans all together are going to just resonate. Jason, don't be shy with the truffle. Just take it and just eat it. I've had one already, so I don't need to do that.
Wait. What do you mean you had one already?
I
moved ahead?
I had a few extras.
No, I had one before. You know, remember when you said you were going to be here early?
And I wasn't early?
Right. So then I ate a truffle. So go ahead and bite into it. So anyway, so we've got this. And the ganache on the one that I had was real light, and I could actually just suck the ganache right out of the inside of
the
shaka shell.
Just to go food and mouth on the show, the ganache is actually very airy, and it is light and delicate. And it's not dense or too grainy or rich. It's really nice. But what I'm missing is the beer that's supposed to go with it. So can you slide one of those glasses my way?
I don't know which one was which.
I think that's still...
Yeah, this should be the right one based on color and aroma.
So this one was supposed to go with the Juice Box series, which has orange, which is... I can't remember what their base beer is. If I'm pulling this out, but I can't quite get to it here. It's the Blood Orange Juice Box series. So there's a little bit of blood orange... used in the ganache. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, what's happening with this particular pairing is initially the beer washes over the truffle. It kind of subdues it for a couple seconds until you swallow and you're left with some of the grape kind of grainy notes of the beer that you'd expect. And the truffle starts to warm back up. All the flavors of the truffle really kind of surge back to the forefront, leaving, though, some of the resonating tones from the beer, such as like that citrusy pith. So I think it works really well. Again, you think, oh no, this is gonna wash through the dessert. I'm overpowering the dessert with the beer. And all of a sudden the dessert really comes back and says, no, wait a minute, don't forget about me, because I've got some great opportunity here. And with that, the two work hand in hand to provide that citrus pith and the reminder of where the connection is.
Yeah, and the base beer for this really it's pale and wheat malt. So looking at a wheat-style beer, paints, and their description of it is a hand-zest blood orange. And it says a hand-zest blood orange went into this beer, as well as vanilla beans and cocoa nibs. Now, that is such an unusual sort of combination that I wouldn't necessarily think to put together is blood orange and cocoa nibs.
That's why I use I use chocolate because like I said, I was just trying for this flight. I was making the desserts replicate kind of the description in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I felt like I should use some dark chocolate and orange, and I love dark chocolate and orange together, and I use vanilla bean as well.
Well, we've talked about the classic sort of candy where the candy orange wedges that are dipped in dark chocolate and kind of thing. And so initially, as I'm thinking about it and going, this doesn't seem like something that would go together, as she's talking about it and then drawing the connection to these orange wedges, going, well, yeah, this would be something that especially a tart citrus sort of orange would go well with the dark chocolate.
It's a great dessert. For those of you who actually are seeing and watching the video either live or in the playback, I'm leaning back in my chair in gratitude and satiation.
It is. It's one, and it was something that I savored as I was setting everything up earlier today. I came back for three or four bites on that.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. So I know there are three desserts there. And I know we're supposed to go in order, but I really am looking forward to the saltiness of the bacon after that rich, chocolatey, delicious truffle. I feel like I want to jump ahead. Do you have an issue with jumping ahead, Curtis?
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Jump. Get your fork dirty in the middle of that delicious dessert with the pecans and the bacon. As Curtis jabs every tine of the fork right through the middle, breaking off the corner of this wonderful cake.
Don't spill the beer.
And get some of the sauce, because the sauce is a creme anglaise with the pecan brown.
So talk to the, because I think it's a key aspect of this dessert, especially as we cut through with the beer a little bit. Tell people what a creme anglaise is and why that was added into this dessert for you.
A creme anglaise is basically a custard sauce. So it's a lot. You have your creme brulee, which is it's a thick custard. You can put your spoon in it. It has it's thicker. A creme anglaise is like a creme brulee, but it's a thinner consistency, and I felt like the cake is so rich with the bacon and the pecans, and it's a heavy, and I wanted to do a vanilla creme anglaise with a hint of the pecan brown to add a little lightness to the.
That was me.
To the cake.
I think the bacon bits that come through.
This is.
It's one of those things where you want the bacon there with every bite, and then it's not, and so you're kind of, as you're chewing, and then you hit a piece, and you're like, yeah, and then you're waiting for the next one,
I have to tell you, I haven't even taken a bite yet. There's not been a time thus far that we've been disappointed by your dessert stash. Mm-hmm. This, just on aroma alone, literally took me back to childhood when we used to visit relatives either in Illinois or in Atlanta, and we used my mother's Aunt Whitford's Cinnabon or cinnamon roll recipe with pecans in it and bacon and breakfast. I mean, it was a big family event when we got together for reunions and whatnot, and the smell with the cinnamon and the pecans and that little bit of kind of yeasty aroma that's coming through like a great cinnamon roll just took me right back to being in a kitchen with all my family members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one is this is a formidable opponent for any beer when it comes to the pairing. And I think the cask vanilla is probably the closest just because it sits heavier on the palate. The other ones with a light, with the carbonation, they're a little lighter and have a hard time even penetrating the coating, the mouthfeel of the dessert.
The grandma's pecan English brown almost takes on a sour aspect. Mm-hmm. It almost is diminished to kind of a wort, its roots of where the beer came from initially with a sour wort. I'm going to shift over and grab my ever-warming cask and see what you think. Mm. And the coconut just melds beautifully in the nose with the pecan and the bacon.
Yeah, it's for me, that is the pairing for this one, too. So even mixing the beers together. Now, these are real similar beers. So you've got the pecan porter, which has this sweet malt flavors, a little bit of nuttiness. And then you have the grinning grandma?
The grinning face porter. The grinning face porter is the coconut
grinning
porter.
Grinning face porter, there it is. I've got them in front of me. I'm not even reading. But on the cask with the vanilla, those two go together really well. And so I think what you're getting is the best of both worlds. You're drinking two beers at the same time. You get to have the cake and the beer, and they both come together really well.
I agree. And we're going to definitely crack into this macaroon and your middle dessert stash, but I think we probably should take a quick little break and cleanse our palate. Not to mention the fact that off camera, I'm going to crush the rest of that dessert because there's a really fun chewiness to it. And again, the, as you said, the richness of that dessert, mm-hmm. but it's not a lingering richness. For me right now, it's already starting to kind of wash away. It's ready for the next bite, where a lot of the desserts that are that dense with that many layers of flavor are going to sit heavy, and in a few minutes, I would still be tasting it. Mm-hmm. I think to the beer's credit, it's allowing the dessert to get a fresh start. I took a nice big swig. I got great flavors out of the beer. It washed everything away, and I'm ready to come back again with another bite.
All right, let's do that then.
I think we should.
Take a bite and then come back.
All right, so okay. You've been listening to Pints and Pairings. We've been here with pastry chef Anastasia Chavez from Barrel House 101 talking about her dessert flight that goes with the Dudes Brewing Company and their beer flight tonight. It's been a really cool pairing so far, not just with the beers we've had in the previous segments, but with this flight on the plate. And we want to make sure you guys are checking out the Dudes Brewing Company. Follow them at the Dudes Brew. And we haven't mentioned all the handles for Barrel House 101 yet, so make sure you go to Barrel House 101 for all their handles and barrelhouse101.com to find out what Stash, Anastasia Chavez is doing. They put up all their great specials. This is Pints and Pairings, and we've had a great time so far tonight. We got one more segment coming up before the meltdown. We actually have another beer that we're going to profile from the Dudes Brewing Company. Stay tuned.
I don't know if we're going to be able to do it.
We can do it, my friend. We'll push through. We are the hashtag beer suggestioneers, we will push through.
Before we get going, just remind you to eat, drink, and be happy.
We'll see you at the next pour.
Cheers.